Praise the Lord. That's a revelation there. I was made for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Nice to be back again this evening. Yes, I was quite surprised. I went to pray with Brother Merritt, and he said, could you give me some of that acid that you got? The Lord will work it all out. He's God of it all. Amen. Called to be a witness, part two. I do have several statements I want to read tonight. I hope you don't mind. I just love it when we let her rip and then follow it up with what the prophet said. You see why we let her rip. I'm so thankful that we had one sent in our day that wasn't currying friend or favor, wasn't playing politics. It just told us the truth.
Amen.
Amen. And I believe that's what we all want. Call to be a witness, part two. Mark 16, verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief. Now, what kind of a funeral service is this? Guy raises from the dead and then comes and yells at us? Upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and it's possible that they'll get better. If they cross their fingers and spin around in a circle and say there's no place like home, they shall recover. You know, the truth is so much simpler than explanations. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Now, would he just do that for them and then stop? And of course not, friends. He's still the same today.
Amen.
As he was then. So if he did it then, he's doing it now. How many can say, I'm evidence of that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 36, we'll read from the starting at the 25th verse. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart of your flesh and will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments. You shall. You shall keep my judgments and do them. You'll just do that. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to reading the word. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we assemble again here in the evening time, Lord, we're thankful for what you did for us this morning, and we're in full expectation of testimonies, Lord, and we're testifying, Lord, before we left the building, and we just love you so much, and we're so thankful that we can turn to you and trust you, and you don't leave us hanging, Lord, but when you give us your word, you honor your word, you back it up, and so we're so thankful for that, Lord, that you are a God of your word. Now, Lord, as we come, we're asking for another portion here this evening, and no doubt, Lord, preparing the way for the days that lay ahead of us, and our desire is that you would go before us, and Lord, not us venturing out on our own and then praying for you to patch things up behind us, but Lord, for you to lead and to guide and to go before us, Lord, and fighting the battle as you declared that you would. Now, Lord, just may your blessings be with each and every one. May your word convict our hearts, Lord, of any Anything that we haven't confessed, we want to have a clean heart tonight, Lord, a clear conscience, and we want to be able to come and partake of the cup, Lord, with a clear heart, Lord, and recognizing that there's healing in the cup. We just ask that your blessings be upon each and every one, Lord, those that are in the building tonight, those that are at home that are listening, those that are going to stream, and those that that are going to listen at other times. May your blessings be with each and every one. We love you and we thank you. We give you all honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to read from the message, Confirmation of the Commission. Brother Brown says, "Now, as I said, any phony man can pick up a uniform or a badge. But that really isn't a credential. It's the credential that counts, not the uniform or badge. And there's many people, and it's too bad I have to say this," he says, "but it's the truth. And we must be honest. There's too many of our Pentecostal people." So he's speaking about the ranks that, he was sent first to the Pentecostal people. To our Pentecostal people that's wearing just the badge and the uniform, see? Because that they live so different than what really a Pentecostal should be. Until there's nothing to it, that's all. And it only brings a reproach upon the cause. So when we profess to be a Christian, and yet the life is not living within us, we cause confusion. And people have a right to say, wonder, is there really anything to this or not? He says, that's right. It makes people suspicious. You know, and Americans are probably the most suspicious people on the face of the earth. And it's not surprising because, the main focus of our economy is consumerism. So people are constantly trying to sell us something, right? And they're making claims about it. Maybe the claims are true. Maybe the claims aren't true. And every kind of religion, and just in my short life, I can remember starting back in, when I was in my, what do you call it? There's teens. So before teens, what do you call that? Your tens or ones or nines or, but I can remember we'd go to the airport and there would be Hare Krishnas and Buddhists and I didn't even know what I was looking at. I just saw people dressed in this outfit or that outfit, and you're wondering, is it Halloween or who are you trying to be? And people would actually physically have to pull themselves away from other people at certain times because they were so insistent. And then that kind of faded, and then it moved to, something else. And then it was, New Age kind of stuff. And then later on, I noticed that the airports, it was always women. There would be women, and they'd be dressed up in they looked like nursing outfits to me. They had these, white hats and kind of white outfits. They were sparkling, clean, They looked like holiness. They were dressed properly, and they were sent out to just, the only thing that I saw them doing was taking money, and I'm not even sure what the money was for. I'm sure that they didn't get much, if any of it. They were sent out as disciples to go collect money from people at the airport. So you look at that and you think, well, I don't know about that, then you hear about this religion and that religion, and then this one did this and that one did that. And after a while, people think, well, is there anything to this, And if there really is a God, which one is he? And if there really was a man called Jesus Christ, which church is going to tell me about him? And was he just a fictitious character, or was he even the Muslims, they say, well, he was a prophet and he was a good man, but that's about as far as they will go with it. So you can understand how people would be suspicious, right? But when the life is there, God gives an answer. He proves himself. He says, but Jesus gave the verification that it would be all right because these signs would follow the believers. So Brother Branham is saying that's what would cause you to kind of relax. If you're suspicious, it would cause you to kind of relax because there's a vindication. It's not just word only, but there's a vindication. There's a life. He says that's one thing. The Holy Spirit looked down through the stream of time and seeing that man would pervert his word and cause this and that and the other. So he made it so clear and so positive that there's no way at all of getting around it. He said these signs shall follow them that believe. He says now we know that to be true. And the church says. So Jesus gave to the church the commission in Mark 16 and then told them to go up to Jerusalem and to wait until they were endued with power from on high. Now, when they went up, you know, a lot of people will say, well, you know, it's the gifts of the Spirit. That's what was poured out on the day of Pentecost. They had the gifts of the Spirit. In fact, gifts and callings are without repentance. That's where they were ordained and to a ministry. They were already preaching. That's when the power came to heal the sick. They were already laying hands on the sick, right? When they went up to Jerusalem, they were waiting to be endued with power from on high. But it's not power to, you know, to show off. It's not power to continue to live the same kind of life that you live, but now you've got some kind of a supernatural power in your life. That's not what it is about at all. It's power to live a Christian life. It's power to overcome. Now, we don't have to, in their case, they had to wait 10 days because, scripturally, this was taking place over the Passover and all these dates had to be lined up. And so it was on a certain day that this took place. But we don't have to wait for the day of Pentecost, as it were, to become. But we do need to wait until. How long do I have to wait? Until. Now, it's tore my heart out as a pastor, as a minister of the gospel, to sit in meetings and see ministers pray for people who want to be filled with the Spirit, only to have the minister lay hands on them and tell them, you got it. We don't do that. And you don't want somebody to tell you that you got it. You want him to tell you. Brother, when you get it, you won't need anybody to tell you. And we've also got the other end of it where we get people looking for something too fantastic, too outer worldly. It's just a peace that comes. There's a knowing that comes. There's a recognition that you're at peace with him, that he's mindful of you, and that he's leading you, and he's guiding you, and he's real. You're not going to, chances are you're not going to hear an audible voice or see colors you don't need to speak in tongues but something in your soul is settled. You just know that he's real and that he's real to you. Until then, you'll at most be a good church member, a loyal tithe payer, but no commission to put you into action. So we need to follow the prescription the way that it has been written, and then we need to go all the way with it. We need to follow it to the letter. So we can teach the new birth actually completely from Ezekiel 36:26, which we've already read, as our prophet did. And it matches, of course, it would have to, because prophets don't contradict one another. It matches what Peter taught. It matches what Paul taught. It matches what was taught in our day. You repent. You turn from your previous ways. You're sorrowful for the life that you've had, that you've lived, you realize you need a Savior, and you want that Savior, and you not only want Him to be your Savior, but you want to give your life over to Him, because you recognize that He can do something with it, and that that He'll do good things with it. And then you will change direction from the direction that you were previously headed. Then God will begin to do a work in your life as a result of your confession, as a result of your faith. And it's a work by the Holy Spirit of sanctification in your life. So the first thing you have to do is come to the recognition, the realization that He paid the price for your sin. And then you must accept that. And you must have a peace about it, not try to save yourself, not try to pay the price yourself, but recognize He paid it fully and believe that, accept it, confess it. But then He'll begin to clean you up, to sanctify you. You might go down to an altar, and you might have an experience, a great experience of the beginning of sanctification in your life, and that's wonderful. That's needed. You get up from the altar perhaps with such a happiness, such a joy, such a peace. You might shout. You might run around because you feel different. You feel like something's been lifted. You feel like something's changed. And it's an emotional experience, and it is a work of the Holy Spirit in your life in the birth process, and it's preparing you for the Holy Spirit to come down to abide in you. But that's not the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's not Jesus Christ making Himself real to you personally. But it's a work and an essential work of the Holy Spirit in your life. But the Holy Spirit will work on your flesh, work on your spirit realm, and then work on your soul. So, or then come down to dwell in your soul. So what is taking place is that God is giving you a new human spirit. And a lot of people don't recognize this or realize it. They confuse the Holy Spirit with your human spirit. The new spirit is now interested in the things of God. Whereas maybe a month prior or even a week prior, maybe you weren't the least bit interested. Maybe you were ignorant to the things of the Lord as well. But now you want to do what's right. Maybe you don't know what's right, but you want to know what's right. And then you want to do what's right. And you want to hear the truth. You're not looking for somebody to pat you on the back. You're not looking for a get to sin for free card and get away with it. You want to be free from your past. You want to be free from your old ways. You don't want to be a slave to old habits and wrong behaviors. And it's a great experience when you're given this new spirit. Your desires are new. Your approach is new and fresh, and you're doing the best that you can to rein in that old nature. So this is what we call the phase of legalism, and we all go through that. But the old nature is still there. You say, "Well, Brother Baker, how can you say that?" Well, I just did. As long as you stay in church, a church that's alive, a church where the Spirit is moving, you'll continue on with the Lord. You'll benefit from being in a Holy Ghost-filled church, though you're not filled with the Spirit. But when you get away from church, well, friends, it's so simple. And we see it all the time. When you get away from church, you can lose that new spirit and go back to your old spirit. You can end up twice as bad as you were before you received the new spirit. You can come back, if you come back to the straight and narrow way, you have to go through that work all over again. I went through it many times in my denominational walk. But you need your spirit changed, and then you need Him to come in and seal you. You need your soul changed. And then you need Him to come in and seal you. So at this stage in your walk, in this hour, you can still fall away and you can still go to hell. Or you can go on and be part of the tribulation group, the group that goes on into the tribulation. Or you can go all the way to the new birth. It just depends on what you decide. You haven't received your commission yet. at sanctification, and you have nothing to keep you or to cause you to live an overcoming life. You'll need to be pumped up because the revival's not in you yet. So you need to be pumped up. You need to be shouted up. You need to be worked up. Many Pentecostals stop right there, and yet they thought they had the baptism of the Spirit and the soul in the new birth. They thought that because they shouted and because they spoke with tongues, because they shook, they thought that they had it. But you can have all of that and still go to hell. The Methodists, they thought the very same thing when they received the new Spirit. Some shouted, some shook, some were labeled as holy rollers because they literally rolled around on the floor. But they wouldn't go on to receive their Pentecost so that they could finish the Great Commission. And there are so many in our own ranks that have an intellectual understanding of the message, and they can quote like a machine gun. And they can correct you if you know, they'll stutter just like Brother Branham. And they'll tell you exactly where it was and when he preached it. And they'll finish your thought for you. And they'll tell you all that was said. And yet it's intellectual. They may live a good, clean life. And perhaps you can't put a finger on how they live, which is how Brother Branham describes the foolish virgin who doesn't have that oil, hasn't been baptized in the Spirit. They love God. They want to go on. But they don't know that they haven't been born again. You don't know what you're missing until you have it. Then once you have it, you realize, wow, this is what I was thirsting for. So what we've done instead is we've institutionalized the new birth to the point where there's not even an experience at sanctification any longer, let alone at the new birth. And then we wonder why the young people in many churches go straight to the world. And we wonder how things can creep back into the church. We wonder how sisters can begin cutting their hair once again at Love Divine Fellowship. Who taught you that? We didn't. Well, I'm just trimming it. What does trim mean? C-U-T, cut. Well, I don't like how it looks. Oh, it'll grow more if I cut it. Do you believe that lie? Scripture says don't cut it. It says men cut your hair. Women don't cut your hair. Simple. Well, Brother Henry, could you go start the truck for me? I'll just take my communion to go. Look, I'm not unchristianizing you. These things will creep in if you let it. It'll creep in like a culture. We don't want a culture. We want a changed life. We don't want to do it out of legalism. We want to do it out of love. But we don't want to go backwards. We don't want to let things in that we got victory over in our lives. That goes for high heels, too. You know, I don't know why it seems like, you know, every year or so we got to preach on it. Why do you want to wear them? Oh, they're comfortable. Come on, sisters. You mean to tell me a heel standing up that tall is comfortable? I get dizzy just thinking about it. What it does is it pushes your body out in certain ways. It's sex appeal. Actually, let's just, you know, he's already got the truck running. It's a spirit that gets on you. Whether you realize it or not, whether you intend for it or not, it's a spirit. And that spirit, it's a lust spirit. And that spirit wants men to look at you in ways that they shouldn't. We by the time this is all said and done, we'll have all kinds of stories to tell. But, you know, I'm mindful of a particular period of time in our church where a certain sister was always accusing brothers of looking at her and, you know, trying to get close to her. But yet she'd get right in your face, get right up next to you, and dress real sexy. But it was the guy's fault. No, you're the one that's going to give an answer for that. If you present, this is not in the notes. If you present yourself that way, you're the one that's going to have to answer for it. So as long as we're, sanctification is a good thing, and we all go through that. But, you know, you don't want to stay there too long. You want to go on and completely die out and have, you know, have him change the soul, which is the nature of the spirit, and have, you know, get filled with the Holy Spirit, get sealed. So you'll need the Holy Spirit to lead you and to guide you, but until you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Spirit will lead you and guide you through your pastor, through the deacons, through mom and dad, through church order and so forth, because he's not living inside you. And that, you know, that's fine for if that's, you know, we all come through the different stages, the different phases. But when you get away from truth, when you stay away from church, your discernment will be blurred. Things will start, well, that doesn't look so bad after all. And things will begin to get gray. They won't be sharp and clear and crisp and plain and black and white, but they'll begin to get gray. And you'll still need a transformation so that you can't be pulled anymore by the world. Now, I just gave you a description of my life from the age of 6 to the age 28. Because I went through that back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. No keeping power. Again, from the message, hearing, recognizing, and acting on the word, he says, now remember, there's church carnal back there under Esau, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But watch this guy who thinks himself just, well, he'll go along with the message for a while, but he just don't want to put his hands too much on it. See them spirits? Jesus said it'd be so close to the real thing, it'll deceive the very elected. Elected, if you notice it, if it was possible. But it ain't possible. See, it'll deceive. Now watch, not just the carnal church, the one out there, the regular routine carnal church, the Esau group. We got now the Judatarian group. So he's speaking of Jude, or not Jude, Judas. We've got the Judatarian group, which is far more treacherous, far more treacherous. We're not talking about you, Brother Jude. Judas. He just left the S out of that. Which is far more treacherous, coming right up into the very hands of the blessing, just like in Hebrews chapter 6 and 10, how he said, having once been made partakers and has tasted the powers of the world to come and has done all of these things, and then they have received the knowledge of the truth, and then willfully, if they turn away, willfully, what is that? It's counting the blood of the covenant wherewith they were sanctified, an unholy thing. So they're sanctified. Do you realize Judas was sanctified? If he wasn't sanctified, everybody would have pointed their finger at him. It's that guy. He's such a rascal. He was sanctified. They all were. They were walking in sanctification, but they hadn't had an upper room experience yet. Counting the blood of the covenant wherewith they were sanctified an unholy thing. He says, in another message, paragraph 107, he says, let me give you an illustration. Here it is. Here's a man. He's a good fella, nice boy. He's called. He feels in his heart he wants to be a minister. All right. He accepts Jesus as his personal savior. He's a nice boy. Nobody can say nothing against him. And after a while, the subject of sanctification, look, the man lusts when he looks at women. He's sinning, see? And then the next thing, maybe he has smoked. Maybe he wants to smoke. Maybe he wants to gamble. Maybe he wants to do some bad things. He knows that he oughtn't to do that. So he says, God, oh God, apply the blood of Jesus to me and sanctify me. And he gets sanctified. And that is a work of the Holy Spirit. He gets sanctified. He can shout and praise the Lord and do some things too. And go out and do things. Remember, Jesus said that type would be there at that day. Many will come and say, Lord, have not I prophesied, preached? Have not I cast out devils in your name? Jesus said, I don't even know you. You worker of iniquity. See, there they are. Now watch this now. We're coming to make the hundredth millionths of a hair. So this is taking it right down a knife's edge. It's that close. Right down to the sharp edge of the gospel. Sharper than a two-edged sword. Cutting even to asunder the bone and a discerner. Hallelujah. God, let it go through. A discerner of the thoughts of the mind. That's the gospel, the power of God. The word of God made manifest is the gospel. You say, well, the Bible said, well, that's the word of God. Well, the word made manifest is the gospel. The gospel came to us, not through word only, but through power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost to demonstrate the power and make the gospel live. People need to see a living God. People, every generation needs to see the supernatural. Now, notice him, the church natural, persecuting the church spiritual. Now, we find out then that Judas, pretending to be a brother that headed up and finally come to a climax. Now, watch this young preacher. He comes to a place and he says, Lord, I've been looking upon women. I oughtn't to do that. I've been, you know, kind of doing the things of the world. I shouldn't do that. I've been spending my money on horse races. I shouldn't do that. I've been Now, how do you know that? Because the Spirit convicts you. I've been going every night to the picture shows. I shouldn't do that. I enjoy even vulgarity pictures and things like that. I got pinups in my room. I shouldn't do that. That's things of the world. Sanctify me, Lord. And the Lord says, all right, I'll do that. He applies the blood of Jesus Christ and sanctifies him. Then when he does that, one night he passes by and he hears something. He goes over and he listens. He hears of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the filling of the Spirit. Then he looks over into it. Oh my, isn't that wonderful? But say, that would ruin my ministry. If I preach that, that would make mommy run me away from home. They'd turn me out of the church if I ever went into that. Oh, I better leave away from that. But let me look through it. Yes, that's the truth, the Bible. So he recognizes that it's true. Well, like a certain famous minister, worldwide known, was found recently by a man that was with me in Puerto Rico on his knees, speaking in tongues in London, England. A powerful man, one of the greatest evangelists in the world today. And this man, his brother, being with me here, a spirit-filled man, run to him and said, oh, brother, that's it. Oh, brother, that's it. And he said, I know it. But look, let me tell you something. He said, preach it now, preach it. This is the hour with your influence that you could shake the world. And he says, no, I can't preach it. See, the church would turn me down. I couldn't preach that. I couldn't do it. Oh, brother. Once been sanctified. Now, he thought he was filled with the Holy Ghost. But if he was filled with the Holy Ghost, he'd go preach it. Amen. If he was the only one that believed it, Amen. He'd go preach it. Amen. Friends, that's why some of you, God bless you, but recognize we're in a battle. And recognize that the devil is constantly trying to muzzle your pastor. Trying to muzzle the preachers. Well, that's not politically correct. And, you know, if you just said it this way and if you just did that, why don't you just give me your notes? But It doesn't work that way. We have to preach according to as God's put it on our heart. And if it's God, he'll back it up. He says, once been sanctified and has come up to receive the knowledge of the truth, look into it and see that it's right, and then turn away, seeing that they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, right? And put him to an open shame, ashamed of the gospel. This is the Hebrews 6, you know, of them that have come and tasted of the heavenly gift and walk away. It's impossible for them to be renewed, seeing that they crucify the Lord afresh a second time, putting him to an open shame. So they see the truth. They walk up to the border, borderline believers. And they're all in it, but they're not going to put their shoulder behind it. They never cross the border. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power unto salvation. It's the power of God working among the church. But they said, I couldn't do that. This man said, well, they'd think me Pentecostal. Who cares? You know, some of you might even be dealing with something right now with the fact that we stream, right? You might be thinking, well, I don't want people watching me. Who cares? And if somebody's watching you and they've got a bad thought, shame on them. They need to go do something else. But don't let it ruin your service. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God working among his church. But they said, I couldn't do that. The man said, well, they'd think me Pentecostal. They'd make me, he said, my reputation would be ruined. Oh, brother, I ain't got no reputation. I'm thinking about his reputation. That's the one. You know, he made himself of no reputation. But see how close they can come to it, right up next to it, you know, and count the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified with, a thing that sanctified him, took him out of the world, and try to put him over in here, and then he looks upon it and has knowledge of it. That's like these people that walk away from the message after following it for 30 years, and they're sanctified until they walk away, but it shows there's no power, because when they walk away, so does the sanctification. And they go and do things, you know, that they've wanted to do all along, showing that there was no change in the soul. See how close they can come to it, you know, and count the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified with, a thing that sanctified him, took the world out of him, took him out of the world, and tried to put him over in here. Then he looks upon it and has knowledge of it, but then turns away from it. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. So that's a person that crosses the line, as Judas did. Judas could have been forgiven, but he wouldn't receive it. But a fearful looking for the judgment and fiery indignation shall devour the adversary, for vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He that despises Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much more punishment and sore punishment, though worthy a minister who has trod the blood of Jesus Christ under his feet after receiving the knowledge of the truth and counted it an unholy thing. Whew, he says. He says, see where we're at. Jesus said, be careful. See how Judas was? He was right with them. He was the Esau, made greater for this age. He was the deceiver, the impersonator, made greater for this age. Here he come right up to again a brother of Jesus, a pretended brother. But in his heart, he was with the old carnal bunch all the time, because that's where he sold Jesus to. He sold Jesus, his birthrights, just as much as Esau did for a mess of pottage, He sold his birthrights for 30 pieces of silver. Many a man and a woman today has sold out their spiritual birthright for some popularity. Some little thing of the world you'd never overcome. Some little women wearing of makeup and bobbing hair and wearing short clothes. Men for little dirty jokes and smoking cigarettes, something of the world. If you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God's not in you. Said the Bible, I don't want to hurt you, but we're up to the end. We're coming up now. We're coming up the ladder quickly now. See how it is? They do it. They're predestinated. They might impersonate and be just as sweet and humble, just as close like Christians. So close that it would deceive the very elect. But by their fruits you shall know them. A woman with shorts on never looked like a Christian to me. The Bible said it's sinful and it's a shameful thing for a woman to cut her hair. Only one woman in the Bible ever painted her face, and that was Jezebel. How about men? You men that's supposed to be Christian men. Now, see, you think I preach hard? This is cutting it pretty close. He doesn't hate anybody. He's not mad at anybody. Just trying to shake them out of their condition. They've been lied to, taught wrong. How about men? You men that are supposed to be Christian men. And let your wives do that? When God will hold you responsible for that? It's not man, carnal. Oh, I'll go out then and join this church. You think about it. He says that's just exactly what the scripture said that they would do. And that's just exactly what they've done. And that's what they will do. Compromise. Somebody said, Billy, if you don't stop that, you'll run everybody away. Devil tells me that all the time. There's one thing that won't go. The Holy Spirit, because it's His Word. And the real predestinated believer won't go away. Friends, I believe that with all my heart. Because it's food to his soul. He loves it. And nothing can keep him away from it. He'll do anything, like Jacob, but he wants that birthright. He'll stand there. I don't care if it cost every friend that he's got, if it cost him his job, if it cost him his church membership, if it costs him everything, he'll still hold to it because he can't help it. Because that's your desire. That's something that you're longing for and you want it more than anything. There's something in him moving him, that deep calling to the deep. Oh, there you are, something in him. You know, the tests and trials of this life are going to prove who's who and what's what. Again, from the message, Inner Veil, he says, God prophesied through the prophet and said, I'll write my laws in their hearts, where I put them in the tables of their hearts, showing that would be the dwelling place of God in the human heart, not the human head, but the human heart. Amen. I will write them in my heart, in their heart, and they'll keep my statutes. And so forth, said the Lord. God said in another place over in Ezekiel, he said, I will in that day take out your old fleshly stony heart and I'll give you a new spirit and I'll put my spirit in you. He says, now a lot of people, even you Pentecostal people, a lot of times get mistaken in that. You get a new spirit, that's not God's spirit, that's you. Okay, now you can say amen. You get a new spirit. That's not God's spirit. That's you. That isn't God. You get a little happy because you got a new spirit. And you jump up and down and you run around the floor maybe and shout a little bit. Nothing wrong with that. And speak with tongues and run around a little bit and think you got the Holy Ghost. That's not it. That's a new spirit that God gave you. That's you. Then, after he give you your spirit, then he said, I'll put my spirit. That's what's the matter with the miss meal cramps that you got today. That's right. That's the reason you can't get nowhere with God. Notice, you put in a new spirit. God has to give you a new spirit or you couldn't even get along with him. We're at enmity with God, with our first birth. You can't get along with yourself. That old devil spirit you had in you, so he's got to put a new spirit in yours so that you can get along with his spirit. And the church said,
Amen.
I will put a new spirit in them, and I will put my spirit in them. He said, after he gives you a new spirit, that's you. Don't get confused with God's spirit. It's not. It's your new spirit so that you can get along with the Holy Spirit. If he ever gets to you, if he ever gives it to you, amen, because you, in your condition, never got along. You can't get along with your wife. You can't get along with your husband. You can't get along with your neighbor. How are you going to get along with God? So he has to give you a new spirit for you can get along with him. So he puts a new spirit in you, and then he puts his spirit in you. He gives you a new spirit, a new outlook, a new faith, then which has new desires. He puts his Holy Spirit in you. And notice, back there in the beginning, when that same manna that fell out here on the ground every day that the people ate it. But notice, those people who would eat the manna would get hungry before 9 o'clock. I've seen a lot of camp meetings. And people go and they'd shout the victory for a little while the camp meeting was going on. And then before the day was over, with the night coming close, they'll worry along and say, well, you know, I wish I could keep the victory. Hallelujah. Oh my, I wished I just had the victory. I tell you this and this and so and so and this and so and so. And oh my, it's because you're not in the right place to eat the manna. That's right. Notice, you meet people, some people today, and they'll say, this year, they're just fine and dandy. And Dr. Church of you holiness people wrote a book and called my name in it. A man, a sensible man like that, called a man's name and said the very next verse, he said, I never even met the man. I don't know him. And he said, I know that there's nothing to him because I tell you why. So he's never even met somebody. And yet he's saying, I tell you, there's nothing to it. That's not even a sign of intelligence. We should never take somebody else's word. He said, I met a man one time that had been in his meetings, and he said, Brother Branham didn't know me, and he called way up in the balcony or somewhere and said, sir, you have a prostate trouble, sitting there, and told him who he was and where he come from. And he said, every bit of it was the truth. And he said, he told me, you are healed. And Dr. Church said to him, was you healed? And he said, yes, sir, for a year. I wasn't bothered with it at all. And he said, well, you know what? Said, the thing come back on me. And Mr. Church says, well, that proves that he's false. Said, if God healed, they'll stay healed. Show me that in the scripture. So if you get a cold and God heals you of a cold, you'll never get a cold again? Don't you wish? Mr. Church says, that proves that he's false. Said, if God healed, they'd stay healed. I'd like to see how many of those Nazarenes that got sanctified one year, and then the next year was back for sanctification again. I thought he kept it. I thought you couldn't back. Oh, brother, some men so narrow-minded, you put a pencil between their eyes and it would blind them. That's right, so narrow-sighted. Salvation lasts as long as faith lasts. You're saved because you say you are, and you confess it. And divine healing lasts as long as faith lasts. You that's got experience 40 years ago, forget you ever had the experience. And go out here tonight and say, I don't even believe in it, and I'm not God's servant no more. Watch how long your experience will last. Certainly, when the unclean spirit is gone out of the man, he walks in dry places. He comes back with seven other spirits worse than he was. He enters in by force. If the good man of the house isn't there to keep him out, you don't go by your feeling. I never was saved by my feelings. I wasn't saved because I felt good. I'm saved because God, I met God's promise. And that's right. The devil can beat you around the stump on feelings, but he can't speak on thus saith the Lord and condemn it. I've done what Jesus said. I'm saved tonight because I met God's requirement. I'm healed tonight. So what are we talking about here tonight, friends? There's people that will come right up to it and yet never received the life, and yet claim to be just as, just as real as real, and actually maybe believe that they truly are believers. They don't even know what they're missing. They think that it's intellectual. They think that that's what everybody else has. Again, what does it take to make a Christian life? He says, now, when you receive the Holy Spirit, it goes right in the middle of that new disposition of yours. Oh, you say, well, I quit drinking, I quit smoking, you know, and I just feel like a different person. Oops, wait a minute. See, you just got a new spirit. But the Holy Spirit comes into the middle of that spirit, and he makes you every main motion, every intellectual, every agreeing right into the middle of the wheel. What God says, if the days of miracles, if Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the Holy Spirit would bear record with that, and every intellectual move of yours will say the same thing. And when you have these little temper fits, and you fly out, and you tell lies, and you proselyte, boy, would I like to preach that. And you proselyte, I've never proselyted, and by God's grace, I never will. Now, pulling them from the denomination, that's fair game. Right? That's bringing them into the light. But we've never talked somebody into coming here. In fact, there are many of you sitting here tonight where we sat down and had a discussion, and I didn't say, well, this is the place for you. Right? You follow, if somebody can talk you into it, somebody can talk you out of it. But if the Lord's leading you, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And you proselyte and you jump the fences. And you're so selfish with your organization that you're so narrow-minded that you couldn't hear another minister. Well, there are churches that actually teach that, right? You're committing adultery against your pastor if you listen to another preacher. Well, you're committing adultery with your pastor anyway, if you believe that, because your pastor is not your husband. Oh, I said that this morning, didn't I? Let me say it again. Your pastor is not your husband. The apostolic denomination teaches that. And then people come out of denominations, but the denomination doesn't come out of them, and they bring that junk along with them. God help us. And then they find one statement. You'll find what you're looking for. They'll find one quote and misapply it. Or Brother Branham said one time, he said the pastor is kind of like the husband to the church. He didn't say the pastor was the husband to the church. But he was talking about somebody has to be the head of the local church, and that's the pastor. Christ is his head. Now, some of you have trouble with that, but we're praying for you. It's one side or the other. He's either, you know, walks on water, or you better not trust him. It's one or the other. How about letting the God that's leading you lead your pastor too? And how about us pray for one another and take God at his word? If you believe that your pastor is your husband, you're committing spiritual adultery with Christ. Christ is your husband. Well, praise the Lord. Somebody needs to tell you. Guess you didn't want to stream this service, huh? If the days of miracles, if Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the Holy Spirit would bear record with that, and every intellectual move of yours will say the same thing. And when you have these little temper fits and you fly out and you tell lies and you proselyte, you jump fences, and you're so selfish with your organization, so narrow-minded, you couldn't hear another minister. Just remember, the Holy Spirit isn't ticking inside of you. Whew. I didn't know I was going to say that, he says. But that's right. The Holy Spirit will make every movement like Christ. It'll make you Christ-like. The fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, gentleness, patience, faith. Those things are what the Holy Spirit controls, our emotions. Our emotions is not so much as jumping up and down. You could do that. A shindig will bring that to you. But the Holy Spirit brings you into operation or in control of God, that you walk in peace and in love and in joy with long suffering and goodness and meekness and gentleness and patience, you see. It isn't something that you do. It's something the Holy Spirit does in you. You see, it's no longer an intellectual thought of your own. It's a subconscious moving of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I wish I could shout the praises of God around the world to that. Amen. It's not you trying to do something. It's you letting go and letting God. I feel the tension here. I got some people upset, but don't get mad at me. It's God's love. And you'll zealously repent. Hallelujah. Church of the Living God, there's where our Pentecostal move failed. We have some man-made musical clap hands, jump up and down emotion. When if we got back out on the street and the Holy Spirit doesn't govern our lives to cooperate with that, we have not got the Holy Spirit. That's not skim milk, but brother, that's what the church needs. Only life can come by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Impersonation of Christianity. He says, now notice the order of the scripture. It's perfect. God said, first, take away the old stony heart. You can't receive nothing. Then he said, I'll give you a new spirit. He says, now that ain't the Holy Spirit. That's where the mistake's been made. A lot of people, many people rather, come to the altar to pray. They get down there to praying, and they get to feeling a little better, and they might get up and go on and jump around a little while, and after a while, you find out they just bounce back again. They never received the Holy Spirit. No matter how much they bounce. Now, friends, he's not being critical on what happens to you or what your experience is at the altar. And he's not. Those things are fine. But wait until you're endued with power from on high. No matter how much they bounced or how much they screamed and how much oil ran out of their hands or they had bloody faces or how much they spoke in tongues or how much they shouted or what they did, that has nothing at all to do with it. That's only human emotions. They got a new spirit and they rejoiced with it. I'm going to say something, he says. I want it to sink in deep, and may God help. There's the emotional side of the so-called Holy Ghost Church today. They got a buildup of fanaticism, and they run off out there because they disregard the Word. They go only together. Oh, we had a great meeting. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He says, now when you do that and you don't bear the fruit of the Spirit, then you're in the new spirit. You didn't used to do that, that's right. But God had to give you a new spirit. Why, the spirit that you had, you couldn't even get along with yourself. So how are you going to get along with God? So God had to give you a new heart, not a patched up one, a new heart. That's your intellects that you think with and a new way of thinking. So that's in the spirit realm. And then when he give you a new way of thinking, yes, that's right. The Bible looks to be reasonable. I used to not believe that, but I believe it now. He says, now there's your great revival, see? And they say, yes, sure, I don't want to go to hell. I want to accept Christ. That's all right. That's good. That's just your first step. Then he said after that, I'll give you a new spirit. And he says, what's that? A new desire. I want to do right. Now, I know I'm a Christian. I'll smoke one more and then I'll throw it away, and I'll just stay home tonight, and you know, and all these little just that's exactly. Eve stopped for just a moment. That's all she had to do. But now that's the new spirit. Then notice the order of the scripture. After you get a new heart and a new spirit, he said, then I'll put my spirit. See? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Oh, what? That's what the scripture says here. That's the order, the pneumatics, the numerical order of the scripture. A new heart, a new spirit, and then my spirit. Then God's Holy Spirit, God's new heart that he puts in you, sets right in the center of you. And that's your impulse, where your emotions go out. And the new spirit sets right in the center of the new heart. And God's spirit, the Holy Spirit, sets right in the center of your new spirit. And there it controls your emotions. It's just like the mainspring in a famous watch. We won't keep you, but just a few more minutes. The mainspring in a famous watch, and it's self-winding. You don't have to wind it every day. God wound it once and for all. And it sets right in the middle of your life, your new life. And as a mainspring, as it relieves and ticks away the watch, it controls every little organism of that watch to perfect time. And when the Holy Spirit, not the new degree, not the new church, not the new thought, not the new emotion, not the new oil, not the new dance, not the new lips, not the new tongue, not the new this, not the new that, but when God places his spirit in the middle of your new spirit, then you don't have to act meek. Right. Oh, friends, powerful. Amen. You don't have to act meek. You don't have to act like a Christian. It controls everything that's within you. Yes. It puts you in decent. It makes the church act orderly. It makes the gift work perfect. And if you have to be taken from a place where you think you should be and put down somewhere else, it controls you. I'll never come back again. No, sir. Well, that shows that the mainspring is not there. You see what he's driving at here? When you blow up at every little thing that happens, causes that disposition, and when the pastor happens to hit something, thank you, Brother Branham. When the pastor happens to hit something that's in the Word, and you say, Brother Branham makes a little spitting noise, I don't believe that. Look out, old cowhide. See? Watch out. The new mainspring hasn't been set right there yet, but it controls. It makes you believe. It makes you act in such a way until you become salty. And the whole world thirsts to be like you. That's the Holy Spirit setting in the middle of your spirit. It's the main spring. And then that yoke that you're yoked to or yoked with. Oh, I just hate to go to church tonight. If that preacher, you know, if he wasn't so long-winded, I'd like to hear him a few minutes. But I tell you what, the last time I went, when I went down to the card party, Susie said to me, do you mean to tell me the very audacity you have that you have belittled yourself to take your hair down? You mean to tell me that you're not going to wear those shorts anymore, Lydia? Nope. Well, you see, the thing of it is, if you just got a new spirit, it'll just kill you. That's right. But when you got his spirit, it makes every emotion just tick right to the Word of God. It'll tick right with the Word, and you'll say, well, now, Susie, just a moment. The Bible said it's an abomination for a woman to wear a garment pertaining to a man. It's an abomination before him to do that. And the love of Christ has come into my heart, and I love him too much to do it. I love him. John, do you mean to tell me that you've been associated with that bunch of fanatics and you won't take a cigar because there was a new boy that was born in my house and you won't take that cigar? Anybody ever had somebody try to do that to you? I have. At work, you're all just staring at me. Do you even know what that is? Congratulations. I just had a new baby boy or new baby girl. They pass out cigars, right? If you're filled with the Spirit, you won't take that cigar. You won't be nasty about it or mean, but just say, you know, I have no use for this thing. But you see, John, it says that we must. The Holy Spirit in my heart tells me that we should abstain from all the filth of the world. Know ye not, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. See, not John, hallelujah, John, glory to God, John, pray for us, get oil on my hands, glory to God, now I can speak with tongues, hallelujah. That's just religion, friends. No, no, that ain't the way the Holy Ghost behaves itself. No, no, see, ticks are off in decency. As Paul stood before Agrippa and brought the word, he said, oh, Agrippa. And Agrippa said, Paul, you know what, Paul? You know, Paul, I think it was a couple of years that Paul was speaking with Agrippa, yeah. Right? And one day, Agrippa says, Paul, you almost persuaded me to become a Christian. Yeah. Oh, my. He said, Agrippa, is it strange to you, being a Jew, that the Bible has already said and talked about Jehovah? Is it a strange thing to you that God would raise the dead? And Agrippa says, hallelujah, glory to God. Agrippa, hallelujah. No, that was crazy. But Agrippa, the scripture said, see where the mainspring ticks you to, right back? You don't have to worry about it. It's all in God's program. It ticks you right back. You don't take no thought about what you'll say, said Jesus. It's not you that speaketh, it's your Father that dwelleth in you. He's doing the speaking. Agrippa, you being a Jew, and know all the laws of the Old Testament, is it a strange thing to you, Agrippa, that God should raise the dead? Agrippa said, Paul, too much learning maketh thee mad. He said, oh, I'm not mad, Agrippa, but I'm only here telling you what God has did in his word, see? Oh, but you become a holy roller, Paul. No, Agrippa, I'm only saying what God said here in the scriptures, that he would raise up his son, Christ Jesus, in the last day. And now, Agrippa, would it be a strange thing to you that Jehovah God, who opened up the Red Sea, who brought the miracles in that day, that he wouldn't perform miracles today? He said, Paul, thou almost persuaded me to be a Christian. Wow. How'd you like to be that guy on that day? He knew that he was hearing the truth. He was right up next to it, but wouldn't take the next step. Paul said, I wish you was as I am. Only these chains that I'm wearing here on my hand and leg, there's one of the springs in the middle of the new spirit, in the new heart, that's making every emotion, controlling them. See what I mean? There you are. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This thing's got to be cut, friends. Part of, if our hearts are being turned back, they're being turned back to the truth. They actually had, Brother Henry, they actually had a little advantage over us because they heard the truth without any falsehood, with nothing mixed in. These things just began to start creeping in right away. You and I, we got to filter through all of this junk. And as we've said throughout this message, impersonation is one of the biggest reproaches. Because everybody's saying, I'm a Christian, I'm a this, I'm a that. Now, friends, I'm not debating whether people will be forgiven of their sins and will be given white robes at the judgment, will be judged according to their works. We know that there's lots of people that will be saved, that'll confess Jesus as their Savior. But we're talking about a lot more than that. We're talking about you being born again of the Spirit and Christ living in you. The works that he does, you do also, right? So there's only one nature to his spirit. So if he does one thing in Joselina's, he'll do the same thing in Allie Baker. And I like the sound of that. The Baker boys back there. Somebody said that the other day. Excuse me, the grandfather in me, you know. Somebody said that. Well, there's the Baker boys. I thought, ah, that's kind of cool. I like that. Yeah. If the Lord tarries, that's our legacy, right? Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for the simplicity of this, right? I'm so thankful that if you just strip everything away, it's simple, right? It's not, well, the Holy Spirit will do this in a Puerto Rican, but it'll do this in a, you know, Hermosian or Guacamolean or Micronesian or whatever, right? No. You know, we were actually told, when I first came to Tucson in 1993, we were told that there's a Spanish-speaking church here in Tucson, and, you know, their rules are really strict. And the reason why the rules are really strict is because, you know how those Spanish-speaking people are, right? If the rules weren't, they wouldn't live right. I didn't come to the message to hear that kind of junk. That is, now that's racist. And that is absolutely antichrist. And that's actually speaking against him. Because what that's saying is that he can control me, but he can't control you. Why would you want to serve a God like that? There's power that comes to live this life. And by God's grace, we've visited a few different nations around the world. And I'm a witness, friends. People that I never met in my life. They eat different food than I eat. And they still do. And that's okay with me. I'll still eat the food that I eat. They have different customs. They have different language. They have different manners of dress. But they have the same spirit. And they're serving the same God. And they're overcoming in the same way. And God is keeping them in the hour of their temptation. And Christ is on display in every kindred, nation, tongue, and people. People that make statements like that need a new birth. They don't recognize what's got a hold of us. They haven't discovered the power of this message yet. They haven't found the Christ of the Scriptures. He can keep anyone. Anyone that'll let go and let God. In fact, he said, I thank you, Father, all that you've given me are going to come. I won't lose a single one. So not only can he will. One of the most God-dishonoring statements. Just killed me to hear that, you know. Oh, well, it's, you know, if you're this kind of, you know, now we're back to tribalism, right? Now the Romanians got to go over here because you know how they are, you know. No, I don't, but I'm sure you're going to tell me. You know, and the Spanish-speaking people, they got to go over here. And gringos over there. Well, I'd be in trouble because... You know, I did my little bit of my family tree, and I'm a little bit of everything, so where do I go? I'm so thankful that he just makes things simple for us. I'm so thankful that he can keep his word. And that he honors his word. And that it's so simple. That it's made simple such that a fool would not err therein. We make it complicated. We make explanations and we come up with stories and explanations and ideas that are so much more complicated than the Scriptures. But the power is in the simplicity. If we just keep it simple, friends, he'll honor it. If we don't put our hands to it, if we just preach it the way that he said it, he'll back it up. He's just looking for somebody to stand on his word. He won't leave you hanging, friends. He won't leave you standing. He'll back up his word. Amen. But he's just looking for somebody to trust him. Somebody to say, you know what? I believe you. I don't know if I could believe anybody else, but I do believe you. I trust you, and I'm going to take you at your word. I don't understand all your word. And I'm still learning, and I don't know all the ins and outs, but I want to serve you, and I want to love you, and I want to honor you. I want to keep your word. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me thy ways, O God. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever new. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. Hallelujah. Let's stand this evening, friends. Hallelujah. Amen. You love the Lord? I trust, friends, you know. Some would hear preaching like this and think, you know, that's not what I came for. And, you know, we're supposed to be eating T-bone steaks and this, that, and the other. And we're a body. And we're at all different levels. And just because, you know, I'm older than these boys here. Does that make me better? Did I have anything to do with the fact that I'm older than them? Did I have anything to do with the fact that I came on the earth before they did? Not a thing. Right? So if I'm further along, I'm just assuming that I am, but I could be wrong. They could be the 11th hour workers. If I'm further along than them, does that mean there's something wrong with them? Does that mean that I'm special? No, it just means I'm walking in my walk. Right? I'm older. If the Lord tarries, they'll be older one day. And they'll be looking at some younger ones and saying, I'm further along than them. Right? So wherever you're at is where you're at. But just keep going. Amen. Press towards the mark. You know, I hate to use it, but, you know, there was a slogan that they used for the Army one time at recruiting, and it was, be all that you can be. Did I say something wrong? Be all that you can be, you know? Well, I don't want to be all that I can try to be or be all that I want to be. I want to be all that He wants me to be. I want to walk in the fullness of what He's called me to walk in. Amen. And I want to see a church that's so filled with His presence. Friends, do you realize, I am pulling over, but this is important. Do you realize, we've heard this for years, you know, in the early church, it got to the place where, you know, people came in, and you remember that they were supposed to sell their property and give it to the elders, and they would see that, you know, the people that needed it were taken care of. You didn't have to do that. You weren't required to do that. But there were a couple that decided that they were going to pretend, right? They were going to be religious. And they came before the man of God, and he said, why'd you lie to the Holy Ghost? Right? Didn't lie to the man, didn't lie to the church, lied to him, right? They were carried out dead. Brother Branham was asked a few times, Brother Branham, will the days of Ananias and Sapphira return to the church? He says, yes, I do believe that, right? But perhaps what we've got in our thinking is not the correct picture. Perhaps what we've got in our thinking is that it's going to be so fearful that everybody's just going to, you know, kind of creep into their seat and, you know, pray up and everybody run to the altar. And, you know, every service, everybody's down at the altar. And, oh, I hope I don't get called out. I know they've made some kind of new rule at the church, and I don't know what it is, and I hope I don't get exposed, or I want to be right, but I hope I don't get called out from the pulpit. I hope the pastor doesn't get up and make me the nail that the hammer's pounding on. No. Here's how it's going to happen. You're going to be so filled with His Spirit that sin is not coming through the door. You are so surrendered. You are walking so close to Him. You're not walking in sin. So you walk in. Then Brother Calvo walks in. He's walking so close to the Lord. Brother Andy walks in. He's walking so close to the Lord. Sister Vekini comes in. She's walking so close to the Lord. There's no sin in the building. And then sin walks in the door. Now who's the oddball? He said it'll come to the place where sin can't even come in through the door. Why? Because His presence is here. And so sin can't hide. It's not that you're wanting somebody to be carried out dead. It's not that you're wanting. But His presence. That's the whole point. It's not people being carried out. It's that there's no sin in the building. Because it's the tabernacle of the living God. The church has surrendered. Christ is gaining the preeminence in a body. Now, friends, we're coming to a special part of our service here tonight where we're going to partake of communion. And it ought to be that kind of a night. If there is anything that's not confessed, just confess it. And be thankful that God brought the conviction. Because without the conviction, you wouldn't know to confess. But say, Lord, I don't want to be that way. Forgive me, Lord. And then partake of these symbols with a clear conscience. Communing with Him. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we change the order of the service here tonight, Lord, I know that Your word discerns, it cuts. Lord, if we're filled with Your Spirit, we appreciate it. We welcome it. Lord, because we know that it's not a flesh and blood battle, but it's cutting away things that need to be cut away. Things that hold us back. Things that wrong teachings, wrong ideas, wrong thinking, unbelief. It cuts that away. It shows us what's right. It shows us what's wrong. It's so plain. It's so... And we thank You for that, Lord. And sometimes I wonder, Lord, if we don't just take it a little bit for granted. That we look around and we think, well, how could people do this? And how could they do that? And can't they see? And the truth of the matter is, they can't see a lot of times. Because they're not walking in the light. They're not walking in the truth. And we know that when we're walking in the light, it's just as plain as the nose on our face. Just as plain could be. But it's not because we're smart or we figured things out, but because You're just showing things as they are. Your word is discerning. Lord, don't let us not take that for granted. Let us not forget what manner of a people that we once were. Let us recognize, Lord, that You are that light, and You're the discerner of the thoughts and intents, and Your word discerns. And Lord, Your word heals. The whole purpose of cutting is to bring healing. And so, Lord, we're trusting in that tonight. So, Father, as we prepare to partake of the wine, which is a type of the life that was in the blood that was shed for us when that blood cell was burst, the life left that blood cell, but then it was sent to come back upon the believer, the very same life that was in you, now coming back upon the believer, making us Christians. And Lord, we just pray that You would bless that tonight to the goodness of our bodies and as we partake of it, Lord, and in the ordinance of communion as You commanded us. And Lord, we pray for the bread, the unleavened, unmixed bread, the real simple bread, Lord, that we're taking as a type of Your body that was given for us. It's a type of the word. As we partake of that, Lord, recognizing that this is a symbol that we're taking in our bodies, but we're doing it in remembrance of You. You said, except we eat your flesh and drink your blood, that we would have no part in you. Now, surely, Lord, you're not talking about us literally partaking of the physical body that was here on the earth, but it's a spiritual, symbolic, Lord, of us partaking of your word and of your spirit, of your very life. So, Lord, as we partake of that bread, may you bless that as well, Lord. Bless the hands that prepared it. Bless it to our bodies. Father, we're expecting tonight for healing to be in the cup. We're expecting, Lord, to leave better than we came. We're expecting, Lord, for there not to be burdens on our backs. We're expecting for there not to be any condemnation, for there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. We're expecting, Lord, for your conviction that strikes our heart to cause us, Lord, to make right whatever we need to make right, if we haven't already. And just to continue to walk in fellowship with you and with our brothers and sisters. So, Lord, may you just bless this portion of the service as we do this in obedience to your word. And, Lord, out of a desire that's in our hearts, won't you grant it tonight, Lord? Bless each and every one. We give you the praise and honor and glory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thou art the what we'll do, maybe we'll just have you take your seat, and we're going to have the deacon brothers are going to come by with the tray, and in the tray there'll be a cup with bread in it. There's a cup in it with wine. So just touch the one that you're, you know, kind of like we were told at the dinner table at home, if you touch it, it's yours, right? I'm sure there's not anybody here tonight that wants to eat all that bread, so we're just trying to be as careful as we can, and we're trusting in the Lord, but we're doing what we know to do. Just grab a little cup of bread and a little cup of wine at the same time, partake of it, and another brother will come with a garbage can for you to drop your little cups in, and that'll be that. Okay? Amen. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. And again, change my heart, oh God. Change my heart, oh Potter. For thou art the potter, I am the clay. Lord, mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, oh God. Yes, Lord, make it ever true. Change my heart. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. You're my master, you're my savior, precious Jesus, like the fragrance that comes after the rain. Oh, Jesus, precious Jesus, Lord Jesus, let all heaven and earth shall all pass away, but there's something about that name. And again, oh Jesus, 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 there's just something about precious Jesus, like the fragrance that comes after the rain. Oh, Jesus, precious Jesus, sweet Jesus, let all heaven and earth shall all pass away, but there's something about that name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I don't know what key I want, but something a little higher. Our peace, who has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. He is our peace. Has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. So cast off you, Lord. You Thank you, Lord. You are my peace. Thank you, dear Lord. You are my peace. For you have broken down every wall. You are my peace. Yes, Lord Jesus. You are my peace. So I cast all my cares on you. So I cast all my cares. Lord, he is my peace. So I cast all my cares on him, for he careth for me. You are my peace. You be his wonderful name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be his wonderful name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The love of God is greater far than tongue of. Kingdoms. of God. You overcome, Brother Doug? Well, I tell you, they had this list of rules, and I just followed every one of them. No. I overcame by the word that produced a testimony in my life, and by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Aren't you thankful this evening, friends? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. About the meeting in the air. That be okay? You have heard of the Moses in the bulrush. You have heard of David and his sling. You have heard the story told of dreaming Joseph and of Jonah and the whale you often see. There are many, many others through the Bible. I should like to meet them all, I do declare. By and by the Lord will surely let us meet them at that meeting in the air. Oh, there is going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. I am going to meet you. I will meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. 'Twill be glorious, I do declare. I find that if I got to stretch for the notes a little bit, I'll push it out there a little bit more. Amen. Many things there will be missing at that meeting, for the mourner's bench will have no place at all. There will never be a sermon preached to sinners, for the sinner had refused to heed the call. There will be no mourning over wayward loved ones. There will be no lonely nights of pleading prayer. All our burdens and our anguish will be lifted at that meeting in the air. Oh, hallelujah! There's going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. I am going to meet you. I will meet you over there in that home. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Such singing you will hear, never heard my mortal ear. We'll be glorious, I do declare. Present to disturb us, and the aching
will be busy far away. There the saints will have their seal upon their forehead, dressed in raiment none but ransom ones can wear. All who have the wedding garment will be present at that meeting.
Sing another one. Jesus, hold my hand.
As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me, leads me safely through this sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do I can, for I need thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour. Through this pilgrim land, protect me by
be his name. Would you stand tonight? Hallelujah. Looking for something I had in my Excuse me for just a moment. It's that new wine. Maybe my voice isn't what it used to be. Maybe if I go down just a key. Thank you. That may still be a little higher. It's that new wine. It's a kind that makes you smile all the time. I heard about it just a little while ago, and ever since I did, I just can't let this happy feeling go. New wine. It's a kind that makes you smile all the time. Just a new wineskin holding new wine. Okay, now we gotta go up one more. Now money can't buy it, but once you have tried it, you'll have a lifetime supply. The Savior will give it through His Holy Spirit, and joy like a river makes you feel so fine. I heard about it just a little while ago, and ever since I did, I just can't let this happy feeling go. New wine, the kind that makes you smile all the time. So pardon my funny grin, I'm just shine, but it comes from sunshine, straight from heaven above. It won't make you lazy, or make your mind crazy, or make you cry over some long, long lost love. New wine, the kind that makes you smile all the time. I heard about it just a little while ago. Let this happy feeling go. New wine, the kind that makes you smile all the time. So pardon my funny grin, I'm just a new wineskin holding new wine. Last verse. It's that new wine. It's the kind that makes you smile all the time. Okay, it's not in, you guys don't have it. So pardon my fun if I have to laugh. Wait. We'll sing it again. New wine. It's the kind that makes you smile all the time. So pardon if I have to laugh. I traded in the grapes of wrath for new wine. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Don't you love him tonight, friends? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen, amen. Okay, one more. Amen. Oh, here we go. Key F? Is that the word there? See, I was prophesying. I'm tone deaf. Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore.
life after